Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the newest spirituality. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM?
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist and Inner Peace Practitioner, Rebecca L. Norrington. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you. It's a special day. It's a special day. Yes, it's President's Day. Woo, it's a holiday, and I have a guest on the show today. But before I do, I want to share with the new listeners. People are finding the show organically all the time, and I just want to share with you a brief introduction. Reality, spirituality, who the hell, what, who does she think she is? Well, this show, when I say being a happiness specialist, what that means is my practice in every moment is to experience more peace, more happiness along the journey. And when I say happiness, it's the same vibration. Happiness is a vibration. It's a state of mind. It's an energy. It's a foundation. It's an identity. And when I say identity, it's identifying with an energy. And that energy is rooted in peace, contentment, vibration of satisfaction, balance, that vibration. And that's what I'm talking about. Before I go on, let me share with you my definition of happiness. Happiness is the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. Happiness is the ability to be at peace, to vibrate peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. I share now on the show, there's a nurse practitioner. She's a hospice nurse. Her name is Bronnie Ware. You can look it up. You can Google it. And she wrote a book, and it was called The 5 Most Common Regrets of the Dying. So she did a study with her patients, and they're all terminally ill. Either they have days to live, weeks to live, months to live. And she asked them, what are their biggest regrets? And these five answers kept coming up over and over and over again. And the 5 most common regrets of the dying. I don't know about you, but that's powerful to me. That's some powerful shit to me. The five common regrets of the dying. Number one, I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life that others expected of me. I wish I didn't work so hard. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. And, you know, if you've listened to the show, you know I have a, you know, sometimes you outgrow people. So, I got that. And the fifth one is I wish I would have let myself be happier. And for me, that's the most important, is that the vibration, my vibration, the vibration of peace, the vibration of contentment, the vibration that it doesn't matter what happens out there. And it doesn't matter what happens out there, because what's out there doesn't affect what's inside. And the question that I like to ask the audience, and I'm gonna bring in my guest right now, Nathan. Who? Let me just read a little bit behind. I'm titling this show Behind the Curtain with guest Nathan. Nathan lives in Southern California after 14 years of living in New York City. His most important value today is integrity, openness, and lightheartedness. He hopes to find the most fun and free path on his journey of spiritual awakening. Nathan, welcome to Reality Spirituality.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. And I have some questions, and you don't have to answer them, but I like asking these questions at the beginning of the show. On a scale from 1 to 10, how important is happiness, a.k.a. peace, in your life? And then the second question is, what is your definition of happiness? Third question is, who or what is subtracting from your happiness today, if any? And are you as happy when you're faced with life's inevitable challenges? Would you like to answer any of those questions? How important is peace or happiness in your life?
Yeah, those are good questions. I want to answer every single one of those. And I'm gonna peel back. I'm gonna peel back the curtain. We're coming behind the curtain, so you're coming too. And
I know.
I'll start off.
You're
coming back with me behind the curtain. I'm gonna say it's a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10. How important is it? And then you ask me, oh, my definition of happiness. I'll
yeah, what's
say
your definition?
Yeah, good question. I'll say, I will say, wow. I'm trying to keep it in the moment. So I'll say, in any given moment, remembering that happiness is at a 10 for me, as far as most important, and doing everything I can, and doing everything and anything I can to experience that in that moment.
Okay, you know what? You're annoying me right off the bat, because that's even a better answer than my answer. In every moment, remembering that happiness is number 10? Oh, gosh. What a great answer, and I'm not just saying that. I'm really not.
Yeah. And I like that question. You've asked me that before, how important is it? And there was still a piece of me today that wanted to give it an 8 or a 9, but it's really not true. It's a 10 for me. And then your third question was what takes away from it, or what do I do?
Who or what is subtracting from your happiness today? And don't say your mother.
Yeah.
Well, you can say your mother.
I know, I was going to say that as a joke, but it's not even funny. We'll get to the jokes later.
It is funny. My mother. Go ahead.
Well, it's not my mother right now. She's actually adding to it, I think. But jury's still out. I definitely feel like expectations of what should be or what shouldn't be, like you said in the beginning, regardless of what happens, I feel like my expectations of what should or shouldn't be is subtracting. I also feel like me labeling something good or bad subtracts from my happiness too.
Okay.
And
not
to throw myself under the bus, but for who, I'm just going to say me.
Wow. You must have been listening to the show.
I've listened to it a couple times before, yes.
Well, let me just stay on this just for a second, because when I say, and I haven't said it yet, but happiness is a practice skill. It is a practice skill. Peace is a practice skill, and like any other skill, the more you commit to the practice, and it is a daily practice, a moment-by-moment practice, the better the results. And so the first part of the practice is gradually eliminating all of those behaviors that have been proven to subtract from happiness, eliminating the behaviors that have been proven to subtract from happiness, and you just listed two, labeling and expectations. So when you practice eliminating all labels and you practice eliminating having expectations, your peace and your happiness automatically goes into another level. Hello?
Yeah. Oh, I'm just listening. Yeah, I'm listening. Yes, I agree. And I like your simplifying label and expectation. Yes.
Yeah, it's a practice. Label expectations, blaming someone or a circumstance for how you feel, comparing yourself to someone else, comparing yourself to others, lack of acceptance, believing words have power. I know I get a lot of pushback on that, but words innately do not have power. And so I learned that they have power, but you can unlearn anything. And so I've learned for me, and I'm only speaking for myself, words have zero amount of power. And the other thing that subtracts from happiness, I'm going to throw it out, is noticing what someone else is doing, which is what happened to me today. I posted a very short video clip because I woke up this morning, and I'm just going to throw really quickly. I woke up this morning, and I was watching this woman, just watching her video clip, and she was talking about, I don't know what this narcissistic, toxic narcissist, I've been getting a lot of, and they're women, it just keeps coming up, this narcissist, this is a narcissist, narcissist. And I have that bothers me because the blame on the narcissist and the people that I've talked to, and it's been the last 2 weeks, and must be at least eight women that have talked about a narcissist. And I'm just going to throw it out. And I had to say something. I said, pointing your finger and blaming this, you're labeling someone a narcissist in the first place. What's wrong with the mirror? And so it really, because I was in her business, number one, I was in her business. Number two, I made a judgment about what she was doing and what she was saying that I was so compelled to make a short video about it. And that definitely subtracted from, you know what, I'm not even going to say that. I'm not going to say it subtracted. I'm going to say that I was inspired to share what I believed, which was the truth about labeling someone a narcissist, a victim, or whatever you want to label them. What does that say about you? Because you know, if you know me, I can get on and look at someone else and them, and now what is it saying about me? The mirror is a friend and an enemy. It's not an enemy. The mirror is a friend. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I agree that the mirror is a friend. I mean, that to me, that's the trickiest part, is continuing to check in with myself. And I don't know why it's so easy for me to focus on others. I mean, I can name a bunch of reasons. You and I talk about putting truth in stories and not giving the stories, you know, validation. I don't know why, but I do notice that it does take a readjusting to focus on me. And it just gets tricky. And I have to really question, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? And I think that's why your question in the beginning is so helpful for me, even just to answer that, of remembering what's important. Because in those moments that I'm in other people's business, other things become more important than my happiness. Me telling them something, me convincing them, my emotions, whatever it is. And I do think, and I also like what you said, I forgot to say this, about happiness being a practice. I really like that. And when I hear that, I think of all those times where things don't, it's just not pleasurable. There's some discomfort. And those are the moments where I really feel the practice kicking in. The moments when I'm experiencing pleasure and things are going the way, things are comfortable, then happiness just happens. It's those other moments where, and really, to be honest, now that we're talking about it, even in those pleasurable moments, it's still a happiness that's not rooted in those things.
I was gonna say that happiness and peace, the searching for peace, is never found out there. It's never found with what you're going to do. It's never found in your achievement. It's never found in completing a goal. I mean, that's the program. You said you don't know why. The program, we've been programmed to blame someone else. I mean, out there, you hurt my feelings. I just go crazy. I go crazy because the majority of the world thinks that someone else can hurt their feelings, that someone else can offend them, that something else outside of you, and the blaming, it's a programming. And now it's even more than a programming. And it's, how come? It's a computer chip. I'm on this computer chip, and I'm on this programmed chip that unless you are aware of the programming, there is absolutely nothing, no other choice that you have to make other than what the program tells you to do. Somebody cheats on you, somebody lies, somebody hurt, whatever someone else does, fires you, kicks you. The program is to blame outside of self. And that is the biggest lie that's being infiltrated on this planet. I think it's a cancer. Anyway, don't get me started. So you said what's subtracting from your happiness is you, and I'm even going to challenge that because you identifying you, who are you? Who are you? This mind, this ego mind, same thing. What level of consciousness says that it's me?
Yeah, I was thinking about who am I? I was hearing some videos on YouTube about that question, who am I? And it's just so easy to get caught up in my past and all the things that have happened to me, the things that I've done and things that I've said, things that were said to me. And my jobs, and really form an identity, really form something where I can say, this is me. All these things are me. Mm-hmm. And I think all those things are something. I think they tell me something, but I don't know if they say what I am. And really, I don't, it's hard to comprehend, it's hard to even really talk about, because it's just hard to wrap my brain around it. So I think for me, I just want to go gentle, let myself ask the questions, let myself not know the answers, let myself be happy, calm, okay with the questions, with the not really understanding it all. They really don't. And this is coming from an ex-know-it-all.
Ex?
Well, you know, I mean, it slips in from time to time.
Well, I just got hit. One of my favorite teachers right now, in present moment, his name is Guy Finley, G-U-Y-F-I-N-L-E-Y for the listeners. And, oh, by the way, if you want to call in and ask a question, the number here is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. You can ask a question of me. You can ask a question of Nathan. Either one. Call in and just press the number one, and you will be able to join the conversation with your question or your comments. Back to Guy Finley, one of the things that he has shown me, or his teaching has shown me, is this identifying with anything human, meaning, or let me just go back to the disturbance. You talked about being disturbed or getting disturbed with different moments or different things that happen, because there's only I'm only disturbed when things don't go the way my ego or my mind wants it to go or thinks it, quote, should go. And that disturbance is always based on something that I think I know. So this knowing, I know, even I know, what I think I know, I have to let go of all of what I think I know and get to and move in the direction of not knowing. And one of the things that you described in your bio is openness. And that's my practice now, is just being open to all of it and letting go of thinking that I know anything. Was that comfortable? Is that comfortable? Well, hell, when I first started practicing, hell yes. A know-it-all doesn't fall from the tree. I taught you how to be a know-it-all. I was a know-it-all, knew it all. I don't know. It's a mystery. That's the key. This life is a mystery, and so the life is spent discovering, not knowing. It's spent discovering. But the mind and the ego will keep me trapped into I know how the moment should look, how the moment should feel, how the moment should go. Really? And so my last question is, are you as happy when you're faced with life's inevitable challenges? And the programming is not to be at peace when something is dropped in your lap or dropped in your way. I'm okay. I don't know if I mentioned it on the show. IRS audit. Can you imagine me getting audited by the IRS? And that was the first time this happened, maybe about 3 weeks ago. I got the notice 4 weeks ago. First time, I don't care. I could care less. What's going to happen is going to happen, and that is it. I'll be damned. And in fact, it was a perfect timing, because now I know that it doesn't matter what happens. Health, leg hurts, can't walk, tight hip, IRS audit, place in Las Vegas. I mean, from one place to another. No, it has nothing to do with anything out there. I know who I am. You know who I am? I am an extension of the universe. I'm a physical form, an extension of the universe. I'm all consciousness. That's it. I'll be damned if I identify with anything else anymore. Period. For a moment. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for sharing.
Oh, I forget you're my guest.
Yeah, hello.
No.
No, good.
Okay,
stuff.
Go
ahead.
No, I said I have some other questions for you, or would you like to comment on anything that I said?
Let's see. Well, I'll go to some questions. Yes. I'll go to your questions.
Okay. So these questions are either yes or no answers. Can other people offend you?
Uh-oh, these aren't going to go well.
Four?
I already knew with the yes and no.
Oh, okay.
You know I'm a maybe kind of guy.
Okay, well, how about this? You can answer with the maybe.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, so first question, can other people offend me? Sometimes
mm-hmm.
they can, and sometimes they can't. Next question.
Oh, can other people hurt your feelings?
Sometimes they can, and sometimes they can't. Next.
Can other people disappoint you?
Sometimes they do disappoint me, and sometimes they don't. Next.
Do you blame other people for how you feel?
I definitely blame other people for how I feel. Next.
Do you blame your circumstances for how you feel?
Oh, like traffic, like pedestrians, like lines at the supermarket, like the kids outside of my apartment making noise when I'm trying to have a conversation with you on the phone. Yes, 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 yes.
You know, one of the I love when you come on the show, and it is a rare appearance. It's like Barbara Streisand. You know, she hardly ever gets interviewed, I just love your honesty and your openness, and that's one of the things that you said. I have a question about this: our integrity. What is your definition of integrity? What is your perspective on integrity? And is that a personal integrity, or is that integrity that is a blanket for everyone?
Yeah, great question. That's really good, because I did think about it when I wrote that word and what that means to me. I think it's very personal. For me, integrity feels like just what's important to me. What are things that are important to me, either what we talked about, either happiness or openness is important, having fun is important, those things that I do identify with in a way. And that's why I wrote today what Nathan's values are, because I think integrity or my values or what's important really does change. And I'm okay with it changing, because some days it feels like one thing is important to me is my, I would say, cleanliness, like my apartment and my teeth, my body, and my dishes. And then sometimes or some moments, it's really not important to me for whatever the circumstances are. It's just things that are more important. So, yeah, the integrity is personal, and it also is up for flexibility.
One of the things, because I know you a little bit, one of the things that I've noticed is your acceptance of or practicing acceptance of all of you.
Yeah.
Can you share that journey from 6 months ago to 3 months ago to right now? I mean, how can you share with the audience any type of not monitoring or but noticing how that journey of acceptance of all of you has changed, grown, played out? Would you like to share that?
Yeah, I think that's a really good, yes, I would. Yes, I told you in the beginning that I really do everything I can to find peace, to accept what's going on in the moment with me and everything outside of me. It's just 6 months ago, I feel like I just keep learning things and about how to do that. 6 months ago, what was going on? 6 months ago, self-acceptance, what did that mean? I think that meant as far as my apartment being new and not really furnished and taking time with that, I think part of my self-acceptance journey 6 months ago was letting myself do things slow, step by step. Let's see. It's like something that's not done yet, like a project that's not done, and feeling, you know, I felt uncomfortable with this apartment. I still needed a heavy blanket. I still needed a nightstand. I needed a table, kitchen table. And I just didn't have it yet. And those are little metaphors for things about me too. So I think it was about just patient. I mean, it feels like the same thing that's going on today. What's happening today? Well, today, like I said, now the apartment really isn't a focus anymore. I'm doing things here and there, but it's not like it used to be. So now that the apartment is furnished and done in a sense, it's now accepting other things. It's accepting how to run a home that doesn't need new furniture but needs to be maintained. I don't know. It's a really good question. Maybe I could turn it over to you and see how your self-acceptance journey in the last 6 months is, what's been going on, or what you could say about that.
Well, one of the things that you pointed out is patience, and patience with the process. And so that practicing patience is on one of the behaviors that adds to happiness, one of the behaviors that adds to peace. And now you're also throwing in self-awareness. Self-awareness, patience with self, and then acceptance. Acceptance of every moment. And I'm going to say for me, because I moved into this place 2 months ago, and there was, and when I was living in Oregon, there was more of a, like you said, focus. And I have a job to do. I have something to complete. And that completion, and I'm going to throw this out with me, there is never going to be a completion of self for me. Okay, you know what? Scratch that, because that's, now I'm throwing in, I know that, but what I will say is that the journey is constant, and for me to think that I'm going to I'm going to throw in scratching the complete. It's all just an experience of starting in Oregon. That house, that decorating, yeah, that had a completion, and I was focused until it was complete. Of course, I didn't have anything else to do. I mean, I'm in the middle of the forest. What else do I have to do? But there's no, unless I am on a deadline, I have to submit a book or a paper, some kind of deadline, this completion, complete, no, and especially with self-growth, the completion isn't even a thing.
No, it's not, and that, now I'm feeling like, okay, where I'm at today, part of the acceptance is I just am what I am today. And it doesn't even really matter how I got here. I was thinking about my past and you know, all the stories that come with that and what I've gotten over and what I've kept with me and what things I still like and I don't like and all those things. And I think those have a place to be looked at. And then they also have a place to just not be. And self-acceptance today, it really, well, we talked about this yesterday, love for self, that real love for myself. It's, I want to, there's no, girl, there ain't no time like the present. So if I'm going to love myself, I might as well do it right now. Like you said, regardless of what I do or what I don't do, what I said, what I didn't say, and even in loving myself, it's not like I feel like I do that wholeheartedly every moment. Sometimes it feels really hard to. It doesn't even cross my mind to love myself many times. So even accepting that too. And I don't, even though that's my intention, it's still, I'm not up here loving on myself all the time. So can I accept that too? And just kind of keep it moving and keep it in the present. I just find talking to you, especially on the show, it really helps me focus in on what's really going on with me right now. And that's that.
Can you share exactly, I know what you said yesterday when we were talking, you were talking to Nathan, but you were talking to Nathan like Nathan was separate. Nathan, not separate, but Nathan was this entity that had so many different experiences, so many different circumstances, what happened to Nathan was a lot. And then you used an energy that I had never heard from you before, and it really it went into my soul, because you were talking to Nathan like you were talking to a child, a baby, an innocent, and I use that word innocent meaning just, because a two-year-old is just being themselves. The two-year-old could go outside, eat dirt, put their finger in their nose, put the finger, you know, and just run around, stop, look. A two-year-old, and you were so gentle talking to that two-year-old or baby or even younger. I've never even thought of talking to myself with that gentleness. And it was very moving. Can you share what you said, if you can remember?
Yeah, I don't remember the exact words I said, but I do remember asking a question to that childlike entity, the Nathan entity, of just, what do you need? What do you need right now? And I think maybe putting my hand on my heart or hand on my body, and yeah, just, what do you need? When we talked about being this own parent to myself. And I do want to, I will drop that it's my birthday today. And one thing that I did when I woke up is, I've done this before, I mean, went in a little bit here and there, but I really felt different today. But I just put my arms around myself, and I didn't make it a mushy moment. I just put my arms around myself while I was in bed, and I just said, you know, happy birthday. Happy birthday, Nathan. Gave myself a little hug. And then I just got out of, you know, stumbled out of bed and got into the day. And it wasn't like, you know, I wasn't sobbing and I didn't squeeze myself really tight. And it wasn't 10 minutes long. It just was a little moment for me to acknowledge the birthday from me to me. And in a really gentle way. And I think these birthdays, it's so interesting what I've wanted from the birthdays and wanted other people to love me and wanted other people to be gentle with me and wanted gifts in certain ways and attention and I wanted privacy and just all these things from other sources and other people. And I feel like this birthday I'm being confronted. I use that word confronted because that's just what it feels like with, how am I going to show up for myself this birthday? Not what am I going to do for myself, but the energy, like you said, energy. How can I show up for myself today? And that feels like the best gift I can give myself. And then I just saw the time. I am going to do another 5 minutes, if that's cool with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
I have a quick question. I have a quick question, and if you want to share, because yesterday you said, and you just let me know when you have to go, because I can end the show easy. I can end it very easily. So I had a question. You said yesterday, I can't wait for this day to be over, talking about today. And if I ask you why did you say that, there's going to be a story behind it. So. But you know, what was that feel behind that? I want this to be over.
Yeah, great question. That's a good question. Okay, mm-hmm. And I love what you just said. Okay, how can I answer this that doesn't have a story onto it? The feeling, well, I'll just go off of what I just said as far as being confronted. I do want to say this too, Mom, about all of this, the spiritual journey. You said this before, too, about the challenge of it, and I don't know what other word to use other than the discomfort of it, and I just felt that I could feel some kind of spiritual confrontation, some kind of awareness. When I say spiritual, it just means some kind of awareness that I can't see or hear or write about. I can't really even describe or even understand. And sometimes these moments of consciousness, awareness, they are, it's just such a mystery. It's such a wild ride. And I was probably, I suppose I was feeling, I was going to say afraid, but I don't think I was feeling afraid. Sometimes I just feel like I'm not strong enough to deal with this. I'm not strong enough. I'm going to crumble emotionally, and I just want to bypass it. And I do want to say one thing about this whole spiritual journey, which is I don't even know how I got here or why I'm here. And my new thing is I don't even think that being on this path is any better than not being on it. I just know that I am. I'm getting this, I'm doing this because of that, the stories behind it, then it makes me feel like I'm still trying to prove something to myself. I'm still trying to get something. And by doing something, and I don't know what I'm doing. I just know I'm showing up and hoping to take it all in. I mean, this is a year of, if I can name an intention, I would like to receive. I'd like to receive whatever I'm meant to receive, open arms, listening, receive it. Yeah, just receive, receive, receive.
I love that. And I love that. And you can end it with that if you like.
I would, yeah. And any last words from you is fine, and that's good for me.
Yeah, I wanted to share that in my life. This is personally, there are certain people that are close to me that can teach that are put in my life. Because they are the only ones that can teach me certain things I need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
What I've learned from you, I can't learn from my neighbor. I'm not even going to make that statement, but what I've learned from you is what meaning your presence. It is what your energy and what your presence has brought me. There's not one other, and I know this, there's not one other person or energy that could have brought it to me. Mm-hmm. I get gifts from everyone. Gift from gift from your father, gift from the neighbor. Oh, it doesn't, gift from a friend. Everyone brings to me a specific gift that is custom, that they custom for me, and I just, you have been such a gift and continue, and you are continuing to be a gift. And I just wanted to say that on this birthday. A specific example, and I shared this with you because, if anybody's known me for a long time, you know that you fuck with me, you got a problem. You got a problem. And Nathan is the only person, and meaning that you got a problem, I'm ready to attack. You attack me, I'm ready to attack you. You attack me, I'm ready to attack you. And your gift to me is switching, changing my behavior, so we're practicing a new way to behave, practicing a new way, and I'm going to say, because I'm 66 now, I wouldn't have gotten it. I just got it a month ago. The practice of being attacked, you know, I air quotes being attacked and not responding or attacking back. I cannot wait to practice that. And that was your gift to me. And thank you.
Well, thank you, Miss Boo-hoo, Boo-hoo, Booby-Boo. And thank you for today. I'm so glad to do this today. I love reality and I love spirituality and I love them together and I like sharing that with you. And this is a gift for me to do this today. I love you. And thank you, Mom.
I love you, too. I love you, too. Thank you. All right. Whew. What a great show that was. And as usual, nothing's planned. Well, that's the end of today's show. I want to thank you for listening to Reality Spirituality. The Truth About Happiness is heard usually every Sunday at 9 a.m. My website, RebeccaNorrington.com. Going to be updated soon, who knows when, but sooner than later. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington, LinkedIn. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. I have a YouTube channel. You know, I'm going to have to download some new videos. And my first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And the book that I'm writing now, Program for Unhappiness, is going to be out sometime this year. So until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be kind and be patient with yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality with yours truly, global happiness specialist Rebecca L. Norrington, and inner peace practitioner. Happiness is a practice skill, and your experience in every moment reflects on what you practice.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Rest of the team, spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Rest of the team, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.